Well, there are roughly 700 school districts in New York State, and the state has directed every district to come up with a plan to describe what reopening would look like, and that's where our connection is made this hour. There is not just a single plan or one single framework. It's up to districts to work on the details. Ultimately, though, it's up to New York State, and as you just heard from Governor Andrew Cuomo, the state has not decided that students are definitely going back to kindergarten or second grade or 10th grade. The governor says K-12 schools will reopen based on the data, and it has not yet been decided whether it's safe enough to reopen. The governor said today, quote, every school district is coming up with a plan to reopen, but that doesn't mean yet that they will reopen, end quote. So what are districts working on? How are the plans shaping up? We will have a series of conversations exploring those questions. Our goal is to help the community come together to talk about concerns, needs, goals. Writing for the Atlantic Monthly today, here's former Department of Homeland Security official Juliette Kayyem. Quote, if American society is going to take one major risk in the name of reopening, ideally it should be to send children back to school. This issue is personal for me. I have three kids, two in a public high school. It's now early July, and we still have no idea whether or how they will be returning to classes that, ordinarily, would resume just weeks from now. My children's summer has been idle. They have no jobs and not much summer programming to keep them busy. I try to convince myself that they aren't missing out on much, but they are. And the notion that schools can't open again to students until a vaccine arrives should not be the guiding moral standard. The vaccine may never come. And the many other nations that handled their outbreaks far more successfully than the United States can show Americans what to do and what not to do when reopening schools. Americans must learn to manage around the virus to mitigate its potential for spread. Fall isn't far off now, and school systems nationwide need to make up for lost time. A bar doesn't need a groundswell of public support to reopen, but schools most certainly do, end quote. This hour, we welcome three school superintendents to open those conversations. Casey Kasorek is the superintendent of Hilton Central School District. Welcome back to the program, Superintendent.
Well, thanks for having me today.
And Gene Mancuso, superintendent of Honey I Falls Lima Central School District. Superintendent Mancuso, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Aaron Johnson, superintendent of West Irondequoit Central Schools. Superintendent Johnson, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
We're going to ask all three of you to describe where you are in terms of your thoughts and what the plans might look like. We already have a pile of listener questions, but let me just briefly ask to make sure we can answer one important question. And the governor touched on this, and our listeners have asked. Superintendent Kasorek, I'll start with you. This is not a case, it sounds like, where you're coordinating among other districts or sort of a countywide plan or a statewide plan. Are you essentially feeling like, you know, you're going to come up with your own plan based on your own needs?
So we work together as a county on many things, and we want to stay as uniform as possible. But we also represent different communities that are diverse in their needs. So when we can work together to do some things, we'll do that. But we also know that we need to stay true to our community and their needs as well. So I know that's a two-sided answer, but that's as accurate as I can get with answering that question.
Sure, I take the point. I mean, every district has different dynamics, different sort of populations, and maybe different needs. And so let's ask all three of you, and Superintendent Kasorek, why don't you start? Right now, do you expect to open as typical or as close to typical as possible in the fall?
So I can't answer that question for you. I'll let you know as soon as we know the data, as we did just listen to the governor. The governor is really going to drive that. And as the information comes in, especially from Monroe County Health Department, and we work along with our health officials and our elected officials, that'll give us a clearer picture. So today I'm extremely hopeful that we'll be able to open up and bring all of our students and staff back. But I also need to be realistic with the fact that there are many variables that may change between now and the time that we open school.
Okay, and what are some of the ideas that you and the team are working on for bringing students back?
Well, right now we're analyzing our physical space, so we're anchoring into most of the guidance around how to prevent the spread of the virus. So physical distancing, masking, health screening as well. So right now we're really looking at, is it possible to bring all of our students back and make sure that they're at least 6 feet apart? How can we change our patterns of students entering the building and exiting the building? Will we be maintaining one classroom throughout the day? How will we feed students? We know large gatherings are not a positive as far as preventing the spread of the virus. So how do we rethink the way that we provide lunch? A big one right now that we're struggling with is transportation. The CDC guidelines say that you should have one student per seat every other seat, which takes a 55-passenger bus and brings it down to about 11 students. So we're really struggling with that, and we're struggling with how are we going to keep everybody safe through this whole process, but at the same time provide the quality education that they all need and deserve.
Do you expect Superintendent Kocurek to require staff to be tested regularly?
I can't answer that question for you just quite yet. We're still seeking guidance from our health officials.
Okay, and do you have staff that has expressed concern about either their age or pre-existing conditions?
Yes, we have staff that share concerns about what the fall is going to look like and that they may have some underlying health concerns that we'll have to work through.
Okay, and before I turn to your colleagues, I'll just follow up with one other point here. You know, you talk about kids 6 feet apart. To kind of pick up on the thread of learning what has happened elsewhere, there's been some discussion about what happened, for example, in France, watching students, even on the playground, be kind of given their own square. And it just, it looked, I mean, I understand everyone's trying to be creative and do what they have to do, but it certainly looked unnatural. And as the parent of an 8-year-old myself, it's hard to imagine kids in a classroom. And kids, you know, will step up. I understand kids have been really remarkable throughout this. But it's hard to imagine kids in a school setting of every age staying 6 feet apart. That's a big, big ask. And do you think that's realistic?
You know, I don't think it's pragmatic at all. I think we can set the conditions, but just as masking really comes down to a person making the decision on whether they're going to wear a mask or not, it's impossible to police. To your point about the playground, the more we learn about the virus, we realize that it doesn't last on surfaces as long as we originally thought it did. So that's good news, and we also realize that transmission of the virus is more unlikely if you're outside and not in an indoor contained area. So, I think it's going to be very difficult. We're going to do everything we can in our power to keep people safe, but there are always going to be those nuances, and I can't sit here and say 100% of all the time we're going to have students that are going to be able to abide by that, because you just have that application process that's going to be difficult to police.
Sure. Do you expect that kids will be asked to wear masks when they're taking class inside?
We're preparing to have that expectation shared with us, so yes.
Okay. And do you anticipate maybe starting at least in the warm weather months saying, hey, let's do more class programming outside if we can?
I think anything's on the table. If we can have students learning outside, we surely will take a look at that approach.
All right. Superintendent Mancuso of Honeyoye Falls, Lima Central Schools, can you take us through some of the same considerations on that range of issues as you see it from your perspective?
Sure. We have a task force of community members and staff working through public health and safety issues, school operations and logistics issues, teaching and learning issues, equity and family needs issues, and social-emotional health issues. And we're about to put a survey out to our families to do some baseline data of how the last 120 days went for them and their family and how we can best prepare for what we think are only really two or three choices the governor can make. Either we're open with low or no spread, and it looks like something that most of us are familiar with, or we're closed as far as in-person teaching goes, and we went through that, and what did we learn from that? And then some unknown to most of us, and I think very difficult to communicate with short notice, some sort of hybrid model, which I'm the most skeptical of being a real solution.
When you say a hybrid model, is that like some of the proposals we've seen, for example, in California, where there might be a week of school on, then a week with the kids at home, or maybe half the school in the building for a week, and then they go home for half for the next week, and the other half comes in, or even half day? I mean, is that the kind of hybrid models you're talking about?
Right, and all those models, and this goes back to Governor Cuomo's comment about 700 different districts. You know, in HFL, we're in seven towns, three counties, and our staff comes from 20 towns and six counties. If our school is on a different schedule than Casey or Aaron's schools that are on the line with us, we're going to have trouble keeping our own staff at work, let alone keeping our kids on. So I don't see a hybrid model working unless that's governed or you know, this is the how we're going to do it as a state, because I think the logistical concerns, I think we're either in school or out of school. Truthfully, I think that's the only real issue. And I think we're going to also have to get used to the idea that it's going to be very flexible, because I think that there'll be fear that closes us, and then there'll be data that closes us. And I think that's the same thing with good snowstorms that we have here in Rochester, too.
Sure. And Superintendent Mancuso, what would you say to the many parents who've reached out to us, and I am sure you've heard it, too, where they say, we know how complex this is. We know how difficult a challenge this is. But we can't do it this way again in the fall. We've got to find a way to get schools open in person in some form or fashion for a lot of different reasons. I'm hearing that almost constantly from parents. And I'm talking about parents, yes, who are two-parent households, both relatively wealthy, working. One, you know, single-parent households, parents who are really struggling, kids who are coming from all different backgrounds. I'm hearing that kind of refrain in different flavors, and I'm sure you are as well. What would you say to those parents?
I'd say that we're all watching the same TV shows and listening to the radio when the governor talks, and I think we'll all know answers as they become forthcoming. But there's no secret sauce that's going on in society. I think if truthfully, I'm the way the data runs in society will prove if school opens or closes. I think the more we're able to limit the spread, and even if it's just Massachusetts and New York and New Jersey at the end of the day, that maybe here in these three states we're able to open up what looks like school. But again, if the data doesn't look that way, then what did we learn last March till June? And then what will at-home learning look like? And again, I do think, we can't ask parents to choose, and this is where I completely understand. You can't choose, do I go to work or do I send my kids to school? So, but we also can't open school based on economics. We have to open school based on science. And I believe the pediatricians are the people I've listened to the most who believe firmly that school needs to open, and that's certainly the path that I'm headed for.
Yeah, the American Academy of Pediatrics put out a pretty strong statement saying it's important that this happens somehow. Does that mean masks? Students ought to be ready to wear masks most of the day or all day in school?
I think students should be prepared to wear masks when directed to, and I think that we found, just like with any other safety mechanism we run in school, as long as students understand the rationale, yeah, and that we're not ridiculous in how we police it. If you get up in lots of places, we use the local YMCAs have been open all throughout this crisis. And for elementary kids, they have them put up their airplane wing arms, and they stay socially distanced by, you know, you just give a reminder, airplane wings, the kids all put up their arms, and they socially separate or physically separate. You know, mask on, mask off. You know, if you get up, you put your mask on. If you sit down, you get to take your mask back off. I think kids are pretty... pretty easy going, and if it makes sense to them, I think, you know, it'll be good to go.
Sure. In case I missed it, any thoughts on what is realistic to expect for testing, whether it's students or staff?
Well, right now I can tell you that I know lots of nurses and doctors who haven't been tested in the local healthcare system, so I don't know how realistic it would be that we're going to test all our educators.
I certainly hear that. But the governor did say last week that he thinks all New Yorkers ought to get tested, that it's open now. It sounds to me, though, Superintendent Mancuso, that at least for the moment, you're not telling staff, you know, you're not coming back on campus unless you've been tested. That is not a directive right now.
That is not a directive right now.
Okay. Before I turn to Superintendent Johnson, Superintendent Mancuso, you know, whether there is a hybrid model or as close to a typical model as possible, I would think you got to be planning. I mean, I know you're planning behind the scenes, but when do you feel like you need to know from the state? When do you feel like, hey, this has gone on too far and we need to know one way or another?
June 15th.
July 15th?
No, June. No, we're 3 weeks late. We take every day of a summer break to open on a regular school year, and we still have logistical and operational issues every school year. And we do this for a living every year. September comes with its own fraught problems. Every day of delay in the summertime is raising the risk for schools to make mistakes as we open. We can't afford to be 99% accurate for operations. We have to be 100% because 1% of kids can't not go home in a day. So the sooner the better.
To be clear, then, is that a call for the governor to speed it up and make a call one way or another?
Oh, it's a call to tell us the boundaries. You don't have to make a decision. I think the mistake is believing that we're asking him to make a decision. I think what he tried to say today is answer our questions, that we should be planning for school to be open. We want to know, what are the boundaries? Because if you're going to tell me that I can only put 11 students on a 60-passenger bus, it's not realistic. It's not going to work. It's not going to be – we can't afford it in our current model. Tell us what the rules are. Tell us what the boundaries are. We'll design. We can make anything happen. But you have to tell us – you can't tell us, you know, the 24 hours before school opens, because we won't have the time to do that.
All right, Superintendent Johnson at West Irondequoit, tell us what the plans are starting to shape up and look like.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me on today. Very similar to Casey and Gene, we're taking a really collaborative approach, trying to be as transparent as possible. So we, too, have 5 advisory work groups that are up and running within the district. First ones, they're taking a hard look at operations and logistics. And so, like they had said, our folks are going around and we're measuring classrooms and we're taking a look at how we can appropriately social distance folks. We're looking at, you know, if it's mandated or logical for us to have certain traffic patterns in our buildings and different things like that. You know, we're just trying to work with our architects and engineers to put those things in place. You know, a tough thing for us is space, as it is for all school districts. So if you're watching the research and some of the guidance coming out of the educational agencies, you know, every minute counts and will count as far as instruction goes. So we're trying to figure out how, to the best of our abilities, we can have the greatest number of our students in-house for the longest duration of time. So that's just repurposing every inch of our buildings as best we can. So second group is taking a look at the instructional side. So, you know, I think we learned a lot through remote learning. And again, similar to Gene and Casey, we have 3 models that we're looking at. Best case scenario, we're all back as close to status quo as possible, although we know that that's most likely not going to be the situation. But if we're back, what type of things are we going to have to put in place to make sure students and staff are kept healthy and safe? On the flip side, the remote, like you said, we learned a lot about that. And so we're making improvements to our educational platforms, our learning platforms, communications, a lot of professional development that we're kicking off over the summer to help support our staff in doing that. And then in the middle, that hybrid. And again, I think if you're listening to the research and the guidance that's coming out, that's the worst case scenario, because it's going to be a logistical nightmare for families and staff. And so we did a thought exchange recently, which is a crowdsourcing application, and we were able to get some information from our staff from our families. And similar to the other districts, we're going to be reaching out to families with more specific questions here in the next week or so. But it's tough because you don't want to plant seeds and create promises that you can't keep. So, so again, like no matter how we dice up the day, it's going to be a problem for families as far as how they're able to manage that. Again, to Gene's point, we don't want to put families in a situation where they have to make a decision between going to work or providing some type of care for that period of time when the students are not in session. So third group we're looking at is public health and social-emotional learning. One thing we know for sure, just from the feedback from our students and families and our staff working most closely with our students, is that they're going to be coming back with in need of a lot of support. School plays an important role in the socialization of students. It's been pretty isolating for our kids. We're doing our best to create opportunities, but we're going to need to get them back in, or if they're not, provide additional supports for them. So we're taking a look at staffing and resources, community partnerships. What can we do to maximize our effort to leverage any additional resources that we can to support our students and support our families, you know, through that. And then and that public health side, taking a look at the guidance that is on the table, because we don't have anything directly yet regarding the fall, but there's been some things out for things like special education programs and summer camps, and just making sense of that as best we can. Just creating a some draft plans as to what that will look like when the kids return. Our fourth team is working on equity, family, community needs, and certainly that's something that's critical for us, making sure that regardless of the situation and how we do reenter in the fall, needs are met for all of our students in an equitable and fair way. So they're taking a look at that, and whether it be for food or transportation or Wi-Fi technology, educational resources, it could be for childcare, whatever that might be. We're trying to look at every angle and try to be as best prepared as we can. Then our last group is transportation and food service. And, transportation is going to be the toughest nut to crack there. As our students go up through the different grade levels, more and more of our students do walk to school. But at the lower grades, we provide transportation for all of our students. And, economically, in these tight fiscal times, how are we going to be able to do that? And are we even going to be able to have the services? We contract out for our transportation. And, one thing that we fear is that the drivers aren't going to be available. Certainly, they have the buses, but we don't know if we're going to have the drivers that are able to come back and service our students. So kind of where we're at right now.
Okay, and Superintendent Kosorek didn't mention this. I'll ask Superintendent Kosorek, do you agree with your colleagues that a hybrid model, in other words, maybe kids in school for a week and then home for a week and school for a week, home for a week, or half days, or half the school in, half the school out, is that a nightmare for you as well? Is that the worst case for you as well, Superintendent Kosorek?
Absolutely. It's the least favorable model that we would want to go with.
Interesting. Okay. And so, Superintendent Johnson, you described it as a logistical nightmare. So I hope that as a journalist, I can press you a bit, but also as a parent, I can say that I come to these conversations with tremendous gratitude for what all three of you are doing and what every district is doing. Tremendously complex challenge, and maybe the biggest challenge facing the country collectively here for our kids. So I have a lot of gratitude. Let me push you a little bit and just ask, when you say it would be a logistical nightmare, I imagine that on February 25th, if I would have told you, hey, in 2.5 weeks, you're going to close for good and figure out how to educate students at home, that is going to be a logistical nightmare as well. And you did it. I mean,
we did it. You're right.
Is it the kind of thing that, feels like a nightmare now, but maybe when you get into a rhythm, you could figure it out?
I would tell you.
You can all jump in on that. Go ahead, Superintendent Johnson first.
Well, I would say that, and Gene mentioned this, we will figure it out because we have to. We have to do it for our children. We have to have some semblance of education for them. But in a situation like a hybrid model, there's going to have to be decisions, right? And you're going to have to some things are going to take priority over others, and there's going to be inconveniences. So in that, I think that that'll be the model that depending on what we choose to do, there's going to be some folks that it works better for and some folks that it doesn't work as well for, right? And that's going to put more pressure on families. I also think, when we take a look at remote learning, yes, we figure that out. And yes, we will continue to improve with that. But we found that for some students, that was a value add. Some students did better working remotely with the flexibility and schedule and just the some of the style with the learning and the technology involved. Some students didn't, right? And you can never replace, and again, we're continuing to work on this. You can't replace putting those highly skilled, highly loving, these people, they do it because it's in their heart, staff in front of those kids. That's why that is the best case scenario. If we can work that out and make it happen, mm-hmm. to have our kids in session for the greatest duration of time, that's what we're going to be striving for.
Superintendent Kosorek, you want to add to that?
I would just second what Dr. Johnson said. I think that we can make anything work. We will make anything work. That's why we do what we do. That's why our staff and our communities do what they do. I think hitting home, how are we going to get to the closest pre-COVID educational product that we had? And not to say that the hybrid approach might not be the approach that we take, but just knowing that that'll be least favorable in the conditions. So if we're working toward that optimum goal of bringing kids back so that they have the social-emotional support and the quality instruction, like Aaron said, we're not dismissing that some people didn't do better remotely, and we had to circle the wagons very quickly to make that happen. We just feel that ideally we would like to have people back physically in our schools because we believe we can provide the very best product that way. And that's what our we surveyed our community, and, you know, 96% of our community want students back in school. And I don't want to paint that broad brushstroke over the greater Rochester area, but my guess is if we can do it in a safe fashion, people want their kids back in school, and rightfully so. I mean, I'm a father of elementary age students, 13, 11, and 10, and firsthand I've seen really the impact that it's had. And when you look at the literature and some of the research, especially those middle school age kids, it really impacts their social emotional health, and it, the negative impact of isolation among all people, not just students, is detrimental. So we need to do everything we can to get back. But we certainly we can go hybrid if we have to. But to be candid with everyone, I think that that'll definitely have its own challenges.
Okay, Superintendent Mancuso, I'll start with you on this: music, arts, sports. So if the best case scenario in your mind, which is a reasonably safe, well-planned reopening happens, could that include music, arts, and sports, or should students and families expect that even if they can come back, you're not going to be doing those things?
I actually think that those groups are so well-supported in the state of New York that those plans are better. I tell people all the time, if you want to see the best reopening plans, go to the New York State Parks and Recreation page. You know, they even have rules of how to use a court in a socially responsible way. I do think the rules of sport, the rules of music, they have their own practices and procedures, and I actually think those groups are outstanding. But it won't be the same. It won't be large group ensembles performing in auditoriums full of people for quite some time. I think we all recognize that. But are there ways, and we've seen magical ways here, even within HFL, of our teachers going above and beyond and using technology to their advantage of helping students listen to one another and learn from one another. Same with our athletic teams. You know, what will that look like? There may be some team sports that aren't able to go versus others. I think we've already seen some of that and had some of those conversations. But also, it also depends on, again, the health of the community. Is there low, no spread? Is there rampant spread? I mean, because, again, all these are relative. Any of these activities, including getting out of bed in the morning, comes with some inherent risk. But I believe, you know, most of our secondary students would tell you that they like the learning, but they like better the activities they get to do, like music and drama and athletics. It helps get them up in the morning to come to class. So I hope that we don't have to make those kind of decisions. But I do anticipate, and I would hope families, you know, recognize that some decisions will have to be made, and not all of them will be popular. And again, some of it will be sort of like we did this spring. We started spring athletics. We got a solid 7-8 days in, and then it stopped. And we all hoped that it would come back, but it wasn't able to. So hopefully we can keep our folks engaged as long as possible.
Superintendent Johnson, you want to endorse those remarks?
Yeah, I wholeheartedly can agree with Gene on that one. Again, I think that those folks have been super at working out the challenges up to this point. And they're a really creative bunch of folks. I do think that the many different ways that the arts, music, and athletics do enrich our students, I think we have a responsibility for making sure that, if possible, we're able to manage that in a safe and healthy way, which I'm confident that we can do. And I know that all of those groups have been working diligently on that. And there's information. They have plans in place and ready to go, depending on, you know, those guidelines that the governor in the state will provide here.
Sure.
At some point.
And 30 seconds, Superintendent Kasorek, last question for you. If parents say, look, I don't feel comfortable sending my kid to school, I want you to come up with an alternative plan, is that something that districts can do?
Yes. Absolutely. We're working on the process of having an opportunity for families to opt in, because if they choose to do that, we want to be able to do our best to provide instruction and learning. So we're working on that as we speak.
That has got to be remarkably challenging as well, but I also know for families that may have parents, grandparents who might be more at risk. I mean, it's a hard call, and none of this is easy. So listeners, first of all, again, I'll say with gratitude to Superintendents Kasorik, Mancuso, and Johnson from Hilton, HFL, and West Irondequoit. Thanks to all three of you. Thanks for being here, transparent to the public, and let's stay in touch on this. Good luck to you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good conversation. And listeners, I know we've been really, really flooded, deluged with comments and questions on this subject. This is the first in a series of conversations. We're inviting more superintendents. We're going to talk to Rochester superintendent next week, perhaps more this week. We'll talk to parents, teachers. This is a complex problem, and it's going to take a lot of work together to communicate, to get out in front of it, and come up with solutions. So there will be much more to come on this. And more connections coming up next.